All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Guest Friday, a Not Your Average Boston Sports Podcast. Got a great guest episode for you guys this week. Ryan McNeil's back, and we're here talking TGL, which stands for the Tomorrow Golf League. And Ryan, you've been a pretty big proponent of this league for the last couple weeks, with the inaugural season. You've been bugging me to get on the podcast, so great to have you.
Thanks. I always enjoy coming on. I love being on the pod, and yeah, TGL, I've been a huge fan. In the evenings, it's a great way to wind down my night with some excitement, and yeah, I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm excited to, get into this. Obviously the, a new league, a new kind of thing with, kind of combining the golf with the simulator world, I guess. Kind of an interesting, sport. I remember hearing about this when the announced it, a couple of years ago that, it was going to kind of bridge kind of the virtual simulated indoor golf with actual golf play. And so watching a couple matches, I'm pretty intrigued by it. It's a pretty interesting concept, and just kind of curious to get your initial thoughts in terms of like how it all came together, and obviously how it works, because it's not like regular golf exactly. There are a lot of rules and kind of intricacies to this, but yeah, just kind of overall thoughts here.
To be honest, the creation, all I really know is that Tiger and Rory kind of had this as a brainchild. They're the two co-founders of it, and two strong co-founders. You have Tiger, the greatest golfer of all time, and you have Rory, who is one of the greatest. And so there's a lot of power with those two, and a lot of draw just from those two. And it has an incredible amount of cameras, every stat that you could ever want. You're going to be able to see, just with all these cameras directly zooming in on, swing speed, ball speed, all that kind of thing. And yeah, just kind of an overview of how it works. Like you said, very, very different from a typical golf Thursday through Sunday. These matches are done and they wrap them up in about 2 hours, which is nice and quick compared to what I think a lot of people think is like, oh, golf is the longest sport there is. And yeah, I'll go into just kind of quick, like how the match is played. Overall, there's six teams, but at a time, two are competing against each other. Teams are comprised of four players. There's some really, really big names through in all of these teams, but only three compete on a given day. And so, yeah, so you have three against three. There's a total of 15 holes. The first 9 holes are alternating shots. So I hit my first shot, you hit the second shot, someone else hits the third. And those are the first 9 holes. And then the last six are 1v1s. And so you kind of stacked up, and then I'm going against somebody else from the other team, and we play one hole. And that would be the 10th. And then the 11th, player two goes against player two from the other team. Each hole is worth 1 point. Unless, and this is another really exciting part of the league, unless that team throws the hammer, which has been a really interesting aspect of the league as well. You definitely can't do that in regular golf. And what the hammer is if I think I have a leg up on the other team in this particular hole, I'm going to throw the hammer. And now that all of a sudden makes the hole worth 2 points, unless the other team denies the hammer. And if they deny the hammer, they concede the hole, and I get that 1 point. But if they accept, we play out the hole, and the winner of that hole gets two, unless you tie, in which case it's a push.
I see. Okay. Gotcha. Well, that's kind of interesting then. As you said, if you think it gives you a leg up, that's a pretty interesting, really, I kind of like the competitive nature of this. It seems like it's a way to kind of really make the game more like interactive so people can really kind of be excited about it.
Yeah, it's definitely that. And another thing that I should mention is that it's all indoors, right, with all these screens and stuff, and there's fans, and they're playing music throughout it. Each golfer goes up, they get a 40-second shot clock, And if they don't get their shot, it's a stroke penalty. And then you get the crowd involved, and the crowd is encouraged here, right where regular golf, aside from maybe the waste management, people are like cheering, and they're interacting, they're singing with the songs. I've watched a couple matches where, the shot clock's ticking down to the 7, 6, 5. And then the fans start chiming in. There might be 10 seconds left, but the fans are going like 3, 2, 1, like a basketball shot clock, which has been pretty exciting as well.
So, they're starting the hole by shooting into the simulator, and then they obviously go further into it, and there's, the different holes that they, or like the like putting greens, if that makes sense. Where it's like,
Yes, so
yeah, sorry.
yeah, so that's another really cool aspect. So yeah, their first shot or any fairway shot, they're hitting into a screen. The screen is 5 stories tall. It's this massive, massive screen. But then once they get to the green, they actually turn physically, they all turn around, and there's this undulating, rotating green on the other side. So then all these cameras, know exactly where their ball landed, and they light up the spot where their ball landed. There's about maybe 15 yards that they could, if they're not on the green, but they're just chipping. And that green will rotate in between each hole. And then it can slightly, the green can go slightly up and down just to give different reads on the green. So that's been another huge part, is that they're actually putting, they're actually chipping, which is a really cool spot to be in, so you're not like putting on a screen.
Right. I think that's like funny because I think that's what I initially thought when I, kind of heard about it that, oh, are they just, hitting into a screen? But then it's like, oh, no, they actually have, they're not just shooting into the screen the whole time, that there's actually, real like golf involved, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And that's been a very exciting spot to be in as well. And then the behind the scenes, they'll show like how they rotate the green. And me just being an engineer, liking to nerd out about that kind of stuff. The like mechanics behind the rotating green has been really cool to see, like the behind the scenes aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we are, about what, halfway through the first season?
Yeah, a little bit over halfway.
A little bit more than halfway. So, obviously, this has been the first season, the inaugural season. Do you think it's been a success so far? Would you go as far as to say that?
I guess success is all relative. I think, and I don't really know any other, inaugural season of a sport, or league that I can think of off the bat. But in my opinion, I might be a little biased because I'm absolutely loving this. I think yes. I think just being able to put on the league, have it go through, up until this point, there's no reason that we are to believe that it's going to, fall flat before the playoffs. So I think just getting things up and running, there's not been any huge like controversies. Not that there you would re really expect a big controversy, but everything's worked out the way it should. There's really been no problems with the simulator. So yeah, I'd say relative success. I think they're probably pretty happy.
Do you think it's sustainable? Like, do you think this is something that you could see go on for the next couple of years as kind of a, I'm not obviously well versed in the world of golf, but this seems like this is kind of an off-season sort of activity, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like it's something to kind of get people's interest in the game, even if it's a little bit different than the typical game.
Yeah, short term, I think definitely sustainable. So this is the brainchild of Tiger and Rory. They have a lot of money with them, they have a lot of influence over the golf world. And they've even been able to bring in other celebrities to own some of these teams. Like I know Serena Williams owns a team.
Yes.
The owners of the Atlanta Falcon, was it Artie Smith? He owns the Atlanta Drives part of
Third
it.
one, yep.
So yeah. So I think there's definitely, and there's enough people that, who have bought in that, yeah, I think it can be sustainable, especially for the first few years. What I think would be in, is going to be interesting, and this is just interesting in the golf world in general, is this is associated with the PGA, but not LIV Golf. So all of the players are only PGA players, and no LIV. So I'd be wondering if when LIV and PGA combine, which there's constantly reports that, oh, we're going to combine, and then it's like, ah, no. I'd be interested to see if they bring in more players from LIV.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that would be interesting. But, and we'll obviously talk about the different teams later, but it does seem like there are a lot of, high profile names from the golf world, not just Tiger and Rory, which I think is, I think good for the health of the league that you can see, different guys come in through this, but like you said, hopefully it can. You can see more guys from Liv as well.
And another reason why I think it'd be very sustainable is because, to your point, they have all these really big names. It's not just these randos out there. It's yeah, they have some really up and coming stars, but they also have some names who have been associated with golf for a while. And watching these matches, I think another cool part of it is that all these players are mic'd up. They're doing interviews live during the match, and the players are really, really enjoying it. It's a fun atmosphere. They're joking around, they're laughing. And I think the players have bought in. It's great. This is, I think you actually mentioned it earlier, where it's kind of like an off season. The start of the golf season was actually a few weeks ago. So it started in the off season, and it's brought through the beginning of the regular PGA season. But still you have all of these big profile golfers who are really interested in it and are really, really invested. And you know what? I don't blame them. Like, yeah, this might not help them in the PGA standings, but anytime that you can be associated with Tiger or Rory, that's not a bad thing. So I think that was also a draw for some of these big names to come in. And yeah, I won Tiger's tournament in the inaugural season. Like, that's a huge, huge pat on the back.
Yeah, and I think it's great for, sustainability, as you said, with guys buying in, guys really kind of taking this seriously. But as you said, the mic'd up stuff I think is great because that makes people want to watch to be like, oh, okay, this is a little different than the typical golf where guys are obviously a lot more reserved and, this is a little bit more relaxed and casual, I guess.
Yeah, it's casual, but it's still competitive,
Right.
which is great. You're seeing them laugh, you're seeing them, they hit a bad shot and it's like, oh no. But then at the end of the day, they're laughing about it, because it's not affecting their PGA standings. But also the format of the league is like, we're not counting shots, we're counting holes. So if you do screw up on one hole, whatever, it's you're down one, recalibrate, and you may have taken eight and they may have taken four, but it's still 1-0. Let's go to the next hole. Let's get it back.
Right. I'm curious about what you think is the best element of the TGL that like sets it apart from the PGA and LIV. And if there are multiple things, you could talk about multiple things, but I'm kind of curious about what you think like sets it apart.
Yeah, I'd say the number one and two in no particular order, but for me, number one is probably the hammer. That's been really exciting. That adds a lot of strategy into this, and it makes it so you're never truly out. Another interesting fact about the hammer is they actually changed the rules after the first few weeks. And so the original rule of the hammer was that one team starts with it was the home team, however they designated that, and they can throw the hammer whenever they want. And then once they throw it, it changes hands to the other team. So that added a lot of strategy is, if that home team went up big or for like they were had a 3-0 lead through five holes, they just weren't throwing the hammer and they're holding on to it, which is a great strategy. You're up. Why would you throw the hammer? Why would you allow that other team to kind of claw their way back into it? So while it was exciting, it could have been better. And I think they made it better. They changed it to now each team starts with three hammers in their kit. And that just makes it so, there is a limited amount, but forget which match it was. There was a team that was down like I think it was like 7-3. And if the leading team just controlled the hammer the whole way, they could have just held on to it. But the trailing team started throwing the hammer and being really aggressive, and they clawed their way back into it. It was Jupiter Lynx that clawed their way back into it and won the game in overtime.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so that's the hammer, which is really cool. And then the other element, which is advantage of being a simulator, is the hole design. Each hole you can have really wacky things. You know, they have lava on one hole, which obviously you're not going to see on a PGA or live event.
Right.
And then they can just make wacky designs, but they're really fun designs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's a really cool element of it as well. I noticed that when I was watching a couple matches the other day. I think that that's a really cool element, makes it more interesting and just more fun, different than kind of the typical golf. You talk about the hammer and kind of that being a change. I think that's really interesting that they made that change like during the season. Are there other things that you feel like could be done better? And if so, what kind of changes do you think they could make? And obviously, it's first season of anything, like they're gonna it, you know, they're gonna be growing pains, and it's like, okay, there could be, a lot to change, could be not too much. Kind of curious what you think.
Yeah, that's a great question. To be honest, I haven't thought about it too much. Like, what could they change? And I'd personally like to see the crowd be able to affect the game a little bit more. And maybe not directly, but like in sports like hockey, momentum's such a huge thing and the crowd is really into it. So right now, and this is kind of just off the cusp, but right now all matches are played at one location. And so there's not really much of a home team atmosphere. Maybe people are cheering for the home team, but I'd be interested, and this would have to be the league would have to be doing very well to open up facilities like this in Boston, in Atlanta, because then you could get real like a feel like a home field advantage. So I don't know how possible that is, but that could be really cool. You get the fans really into it. They're cheering, not being obnoxious because it's still golf, but they're really cheering and trying to affect the shots of the visiting team. That could be a really interesting aspect.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think just given kind of how new it is, there's only the one facility, but yeah, I think that would be really cool to see, other venues. Obviously it's a state-of-the-art venue in Florida, so it's like not like they're all these facilities kind of laying around, but I think they would be really cool to kind of see that, to have, different teams have like a home field advantage, as you said, because at the moment, it's kind of like the barnstorming element, kind of like the professional lacrosse league, where yes, the teams have like locales where they're based, but they don't have like a home field per se.
Yeah, and one story on how the home field could affect this has already happened. And Tiger was up. They were planning on their simulator on their tablet where they want to, aim. And Tiger's teammate said, "Oh, 199." Tiger heard 99, and so he pulls out his pitching wedge, and his shot landed at 100 yards, and then he was 100 yards short. So that might be just I don't exactly know if that was the crowd that affected or if he just truly misunderstood, but like
Gotcha.
that could be something that the home field really gets into, and then the visiting team really has to dial in and be like, no, we have to make sure that we have all of our yardages correct.
Right. Yeah, dealing with, crowd noise and that sort of thing. I think that's a really good point because, yeah, how many times do you watch, NFL football games in the playoffs where stadiums are so loud and guys have to, really go to great lengths to be able to like communicate. So I think that's a really good, really interesting point.
Yeah, it could be fun. It could not be. I don't know, but it could be fun for sure.
So obviously, as we're, as you said, a little more than halfway through the season, I'm curious about the teams that you feel have done really well, maybe haven't. Or maybe and maybe also individual guys that have done really well or maybe haven't done as well.
Yeah, well, I'll start off on the I've not done very well. And I'll say the Boston Common South. I was disappointed, and being biased as well, being from Boston, obviously.
There
But
were
we have a
Boston
great
Hot
lineup. Exactly. Great lineup of Rory Hideki, Matsuyama, Keegan Bradley, who Keegan's a huge Boston guy. He's born in Vermont, but loves all things Boston and Adam Scott. So it's a great lineup. But then you also look at all the other lineups and it's like everyone's a star from top to bottom.
Right.
So definitely disappointed. I thought Rory and Hideki would really lead us. So I've been disappointed with our squad. But then to the brighter side of things, to your point, of the people who have impressed, the Bay Golf Club has been unbelievable. They have not lost a match, so they're 4-0 right now. And leading that team is Ludvig Åberg, who's a young guy, but made his mark already in the golfing world, and he's really, really played very well with this simulator thing. Another team, the Los Angeles Golf Club, they've played three matches, have won three, and then I believe they have a loss in overtime. Which I guess I should have explained this in the overview, but the way the point system works is you get 2 points for a win and 1 point for an overtime loss. So then the most points make the playoffs. So even though they lost, or oh yeah, Los Angeles has lost a game, they still have that 1 point, which gives them an edge. And then an individual player who I've been really, really enjoying watch is Tom Kim, young guy who's been a name, but he's never really like kind of crossed that boundary of I don't believe he has a major win. But he's been playing lights out, sinking a lot of long putts. He's made at least two or three when like the hammer's been on the line and his team's about to go down two. And then he steps up and he actually chipped one in to tie the hole to push it. And I think he's hit two like 8, 10, 12 foot putt, something like that, to keep his team in. So he's been really fun to watch, a great personality to kind of be able to see. And he's been enjoying the simulator and the feel on these greens.
I think that's really cool with the two guys that you just highlighted, that they're kind of on the younger side and guys that are kind of like the future of the game. So I think that that's really cool that like people can kind of see them up close in kind of a different setting than like the typical golf tournament. So I think that's kind of cool. You know, Tom Kim is 22 years old. Åberg is 23, I believe. So it's like those guys are super young and people can kind of get to know them on a more kind of closer basis, I guess, through this versus, you know, PGA Tour.
Yeah, and I think that also goes back to your question about sustainability, is like this is really showcasing the individual golfer's personality. There's this great Netflix series, First Swing, I believe it is, on Netflix, and that's a way they kind of teach it, or they go through like how the golfer was brought up in the golf world and what their strategy, what their practice, what their day-to-day lives looks like. And so it's a reason to get to know people on these golfers on an individual level, see their personalities. And I think this TGL League is doing that same thing. You can see their personalities, you can see them, you can hear them talking to each other. So that's been another really fun thing about it.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Anything else you want to mention, Ryan? This has been really fun to kind of talk about something that maybe I wouldn't typically cover on the podcast, but anything else that you want to mention?
I guess there's just been a few moments throughout the season that's really stuck out to me. Again, part of the reason why I like it is because you get to see the players and their personalities. And this was early on. I forget exactly which match, but it was Jupiter Link, so that's Tiger's Club. And they were chipping out of the bunker, right next to the green. I believe it was Kevin Kisner, and it was a serious moment. They needed a solid escape from the bunker, and Kisner just absolutely skulls it, ends up hitting the flag and bouncing like 30 feet in the other direction, and the other team, sunk their putt, maybe two putted for an easy win in that hole. But like Tiger was literally on the green laughing. Like he could not. And then the other team, everybody was just dying laughing. And that's been another just, it's a really fun league. And in the PGA, when you're counting strokes, that's not a laughable moment. You're like, you really got to make up for it. But that was just like, you know what? It happens. We'll give them a point. We'll move on. And everyone was laughing, and that was just so funny that I really enjoyed. And then so that was one great thing. And then one thing I'd like to have a conversation with you about, just as a sports enthusiast in general, is the playoff format. So right now there's six teams in the league, and the top 4 points make the playoffs. There's already been three that are clinched, and the other three teams are still at large. Boston needs to win out, and we need some help, which is unfortunate, but there's still a chance. I'd like to get your thoughts on what if you had, all six teams make the playoffs and the first two get the bye? And I've been going back and forth. I understand, why you only have four teams, but I'd also kind of like to see, all six, and it's still anybody's game in the postseason. But I'd be curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree because I think then that still prioritizes the regular season because you're trying to, compete for buys. But then I think it also makes it interesting that, okay, any team could win, kind of makes it kind of like hockey in a way where it's like you feel like any team has a chance. Now, obviously, this is a little bit different. Everybody's making playoffs, but I think just kind of, I think it makes it a little bit more interesting that way, where you get to see, all these guys compete, and yeah, maybe it waters down the regular season a little bit, but I think that would be a really good idea to make it, more interesting.
Okay, and I just had, as you're talking, I just had this thought too, like as a way to like also prevent the watering down of the regular season, maybe like the 5 and 6 team, maybe they only get one hammer, and the 3 and 4 get two hammers, and the 1 and 2 get all three hammers. I would they'd have to look at the logistics and all of that, but like I think there's definitely something there. And what would be your thoughts on the lower seeds getting the lower number of hammers?
Yeah, I think that would be a really interesting. I think that would be really interesting. I think that would definitely work to make it more interesting. I hate to cut us off, but we're getting a little bit low on the Zoom time, unfortunately. But great having you on, Ryan. It was really fun to get to talk TGL, and maybe we'll get to have you on, later on in the season.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, I love being on the podcast every time. It's a pleasure, and I love talking golf, love talking TGL. We hit all our main points, I think. So perfect timing to wrap up.
Absolutely.